Welcome to the Line Life Podcast. I'm Jeff Postlewaite of T&D World, and today we're bringing you more stories of the grit, courage, and inspirational teamwork that it takes to be a line worker.
Thank you for tuning in to the T&D World Line Life Podcast, produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. My name is Amy Fishbach, and I'm the head of content for T&D World and also the host of the Line Life Podcast. Before I dive into today's episode, I invite you to become part of our Line Life podcast community by searching for the Line Life podcast in your favorite podcasting app or going to linelife.podbean.com and clicking follow in the top right. We air interview-style episodes on the first and third Fridays of each month and also audio stories in our In Case You Missed It series featuring articles that appeared in our print magazine on the second and fourth Fridays of each month. If you have a comment on this episode or a suggestion for a future guest, please reach out to me. You can email me at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn or Instagram at Lineman World. I'd love to hear from you. Now let's move on to today's episode. Welcome back to this episode of the T&D World Line Life Podcast. This episode is a special one because tomorrow is the 2026 National Lineman Appreciation Day. Every year on this day, our country honors the hardworking people behind the power, the line workers who are out on the line in severe weather conditions, who spend days, weeks, and sometimes even months away from their families to get the power back on, and who build, maintain, and repair our nation's electrical infrastructure. Many companies honor their valued field workforce on this day with special meals and celebrations and tributes on social media. For this episode, I thought we'd do something a little different than what we normally have on our first and third Fridays with a full interview-style episode. Instead, I'm going to share some of my favorite clips over the last few years of line workers talking about their favorite parts of their job or their most memorable storms. And before we do that, I want to wish each and every one of you a very happy National Lineman Appreciation Day tomorrow, April 18th. I hope you have time to relax with your friends and families at home and no big storms come rolling into your service territory. Thanks again for listening. And if you aren't yet a member of our Line Life podcast community, go to linelife.podbean.com and just click follow in the top right. Or search for the Line Life podcast in your favorite podcasting app. Now let's listen in on some of the stories of the line workers working on the line from the Line Life podcast. For our first clip, we're going to hear from Nick Cummins, who is now a senior superintendent transmission for IB Able Incorporated. He has spent more than 20 years in the line trade and is a son of a line worker. Nick had a passion for the line trade from a young age, and I asked him during our interview about how that developed during his childhood. Now let's listen in on my conversation with Nick.
I can still remember the teacher saying, "So what do you want to be when you grow up?" And I already knew the answer. I wanted to be a line worker, to follow in my father's footsteps and to honor him and to be one of those heroes. My father was a line worker. He has since retired. He spent 42 years in the line industry. And growing up, seeing his contribution and his work ethic, he was a role model for me. I was actually in my closet the other day and just cleaning some things out and going through some things. And I found my art drawing from grade school that my mother kept for so many years. And she did turn it over to me when I became a lineman. I drew a picture of a telephone pole and some wires and a guy in a truck. And there was a guy on the pole and there were some ground workers there. And I had highlighted and wrote out that I wanted to be a line worker when I grew up. And that holds true to my heart still today. It really does.
For our next segment, we're going to feature Arthur William Munoz from Salt River Project. And he was featured in our Lighting the Way for the Line Trade article about the Light Up Navajo Project and how he and other line workers were providing first-time power to homes on Navajo Nation. This weekend, two crews from Salt River Project are heading to Arizona for the 2026 Light Up Navajo Project. During this part of the interview, Art talks about his inspiration for entering the line trade. When he first started out in his apprenticeship, he was afraid of heights, but as he gained more experience, he was able to climb something called the Godzilla, which was a huge pole that was in their training yard. If you want to hear his full story about that experience, you can go to lionlife.podbean.com and look for the interview with Arthur William Munoz. Now let's listen in on a short part of my interview that I had with Arthur for the Lion Life podcast.
So my father actually worked for SRP, and he was like, hey, you should try to get a job here. And I'm like, well, I really don't know what SRP is and what you guys do. I know it's like the power company. I don't even know what he did. So he's like, well, this is what we do, and there's so many different trades out there. So he's like, you should just put an application and just see where it goes. So I did. Put in my application. Ended up getting a job as a trades helper. Thrown on to a crew. Starting my day at 5:30 in the morning for a construction and maintenance. Just kind of C&M crew. Kind of doing some cleanup for crews that go out there and destroy stuff. From asphalt to trees. Adding rock and all that kind of stuff. Picking up oil. And I kind of was out just on that crew. Kind of like a culture shock for me. Waking up that early, coming to work, working outside. It was November at the time, actually December. So it was really different and foreign to me. Then, you know, I got to see what kind of line work like was happening, what that actually involved and what it was. I didn't know if it was necessary for me. I knew I was kind of just still kind of putting my feelers out there and kind of just seeing what I liked, what I didn't like. I know I didn't like heights. That's for sure. I was like, well, it seems really, really cool. These guys are pretty crazy. They're like grown eighth grade men. It was like an eighth grade locker room, and I just loved every bit of it. Got to do the work. Got put on a crew. And then from there, I was like, all right, this is for me. This is kind of what I want to do. If I work hard, I can be an apprentice and then just see where this job takes me. So it was just, I love the camaraderie of the crews. I love the work. I loved the hard work that went into it. And I was kind of sold.
Next, we're going to hear from Randy Blazer, who is the daughter of Susan Blazer, who was the first female journeyman line worker in the state of Missouri and also a Lineman Hall of Famer and the Lineman Program Coordinator at Metropolitan Community College of Kansas City. During our interview, which was part of the Women on the Line series, she talked about how both her mom and her dad worked in the line trade. She remembers going to the International Lineman's Rodeo with her mom starting in third grade and also being part of the Take Your Child to Work Day activities where she was able to see the line workers roast a hot dog out on the line to show the dangers of electricity. Now she's the mom of twins and also a journeyman for Ameren, Illinois. And now here's her story of why she decided to go into the line trade right after she graduated from college.
My mom was just, why don't you just come down, check it out. Went down there, and I'm like, man, this is kind of cool. I'm not scared of heights, so that wasn't a big deal. But just the being outside and being busy and learning and doing different things, I just thought it was really interesting to me. I didn't know what to do. There's no way I'd sit behind an office every day. And then I was like, man, I really like this group of guys. I really like what we do. And if this is what it's really like, then I could definitely see myself doing something like this.
For our next clip, you're going to hear from Brian Lucas, who is the host of the Powerline podcast. And I met Ryan a few years ago at the International Linemen's Expo, and it was wonderful to be able to talk to a fellow podcaster who wants to help share best practices and the stories of the line trade. And I asked Ryan about where he was from and how he got started in the line trade. And here's a little bit about his background.
My father, like I said, Lineman, owned a small power line company. So really just grew up around linemen, listening to their stories, spending a lot of time with them. So once I became a lineman myself, I started accumulating stories for myself and was like, I want to capture these because you do really unique work, visit cool places, meet cool people, all that sort of stuff. I wanted to capture that in some sort of way. I'm from British Columbia, Canada. So very remote work. Mountainous work, a lot of winter work, and I spent 15 years on the tools as a lineman, about 5 years in management, did some barehand instructing line school students, and then moved into this podcast stuff. So I have a lot of diversity in the trade, but like on the tools work, I was really able to check off the bucket list of things I wanted to do in the trade over those 15 years. So like I said, barehand line work, got to that, lots of helicopter work, lots of distribution work in urban cities, remote urban environment, winter, summer, real wide range of stuff. Yeah. few hurricane jobs as well. I find linemen have that adventurous side, a little bit of like thrill-seeking side. When I was young, I really had a lot of that. I've always had a heart for like mountaineering and stuff like that as well. Wanted to climb the tallest mountains in the world. Didn't really do that, kind of parked that dream when I had kids, but I fulfilled that dream through line work, climbing tall towers and flying around on the bottom of a rope under a helicopter. So the heli experience is super cool. It's something I encourage people to do and pursue if it's, you know, something that excites them.
For our next clip, you're going to hear from Bruce Thompson, who I met during the International Lineman's Rodeo Week years ago, and love seeing him every year in Kansas City. And here's Bruce talking about his early memories of his dad working in the line trade and how that made him also want to pursue a career in line work.
Well, my dad was a lineman, and I knew at 12 years old that that's what I wanted to do. I grew up in Miami, Florida. I lived there for the first 18 years of my life. But again, at 12 years old, I knew what I wanted to do. My dad, in the summertime, I'd go to work with him, and he just happened to be working transmission at the time, and they were building a 230 transmission line west of Miami. And so I'd go out there, and me and him would drive actual to the job site in the pickup because I wasn't old enough to drive. And then he'd park the truck, I'd unload my motorcycle, and then I'd just ride all day up and down the right of way. And at lunchtime, what I figured out was all the guys broke for lunch, and I'd go hang out with a different crew. All the linemen, they respected my dad. So they all really, you know, hey, come on over here. They gave me bucket rides. They had me driving bulldozers. They had me running cranes, not cranes, but just like boom trucks, basically. But they had steel. They were bigger trucks. And I just fell in love with it.
I also talked to David Hernandez, a line worker for Pedernales Electric Cooperative. And he talked about some of his most memorable storms and how he enjoyed getting the lights back on for his community, as well as customers in other parts of the country.
We get a lot of lightning storms, some tornadoes, not a whole lot, but we've had some flooding in the years. I guess my most memorable storm was I'd only been working at the co-op for like 4 months. I really didn't know a whole lot. It was in 1998 and we had a flood. And we got like 18 inches of water, rain, one night. And it flooded, just a devastation. And everything that was destroyed was just, it stuck with my head. And I think that's when I started realizing that I do want to do this, that I do enjoy helping people and getting them power and, you know, doing whatever we can to help them out. I've worked some hurricanes in the past, and you're out and different parts of the state or just helping out with storm restoration, and just the acknowledgement and the thankfulness that people give you, it's a big reward for me, and I enjoy that.
During the International Lineman's Rodeo Week, I also had the pleasure of talking to Shannon Skinner, a journeyman line worker for NV Energy, about her most memorable storms. Here's what she had to say.
It's like 3 years ago, we had a series of storms come through Las Vegas. It's like a shield of wind that just comes in and just flattens everything.
Oh,
y'all have,
don't have those here.
No, y'all tornadoes, yes. Which I'm glad we don't have.
Yeah,
but it was like 4 months of just solid 24 on, 6 off, 24 on, 6 off. But you know, we're on our game. Then we're heightened, and it's what we live for. So, but at the end of that 4 months, we're a little bit bushed.
I bet.
Then the day to day stuff, the storms, and then. You know, incidents around town, forklifts tearing double circuits down for miles. So it's constant. But the storms, we had a couple of other utilities come in, help us. Our northern brothers and sisters from NV Energy, Rocky Mountain Power came down, helped us. Built some really good long-lasting relationships with those folks. I still talk to a couple of crews from Rocky Mountain Power. So the storms, and when we bring our IB brothers and sisters together from other entities of the world, you build long-lasting relationships. And I think that's a big thing with this trade. You know, we're actually a small community, but a very tight community.
And finally, I'm going to end with a clip of Miles Bell from Duke Energy, who I interviewed for the second part of Hurricane Helene 1 year later, about his utility's response to Hurricane Helene. The hurricane came through his service territory right about when he was ready to go to the International Lineman's Rodeo. So he wasn't able to go with his team, which also included Jordan Henderson and Keith Burrell. But the following year, 2025, he was able to come back and get fourth place overall for his journeyman team. You'll hear a new interview style episode with Miles in the near future. But in the meantime, here's a look back at his story about what happened during Hurricane Helene.
So at first, I mean, it literally looked like a war zone when we first made it there. Chimney Rock's an iconic place. People from all over the country know about Chimney Rock. It's a big tourist location, a lot of history. It's a historic site. And, I mean, it's just been a kind of staple of my life for my whole life, living close there. And when we were first able to make it there, it was like just a scene out of a movie. It looked like somebody dropped a bomb. There were, I would say, 50% of the buildings were gone. The road was gone. The river was 3 or 4 times as wide as it used to be. It was chaos. And then Bat Cave, which is right up the road, maybe a mile or two up the road from Chimney Rock, it was the same. They're on the same river. So that was a total rebuild. And just driving or just transportation there was nearly impossible. The poor people that lived there, they were stranded for multiple days with no way out except for by helicopter, because every road going in or out was gone. And speaking of that, going to Bat Cave, when we finished up what we could do in Chimney Rock, which was basically we got the fire department on. That was really all we could do there because the structures were so damaged. We really couldn't put power on anything at the time. So we got the fire department on, and we got as many street lights on as we could just to bring some light back to the place. And then we tried to move into Bat Cave, but there was no road to get there. So me and a coworker, we actually got on our side-by-side, a Polaris one day, and we rode for about 8 hours trying just to access the area. Finally, we got there. We had to get permission to go across private property, use some private roads, and the roads were sketchy at best, but we did get there and discover that, hey, we found a path. And then in the next couple of days, we started getting big trucks in and trying to work. But the devastation was just unreal. Our right-of-ways were gone. The community really came together in both of those areas because we were walking at sometimes from house to house asking people, hey, can we put a power line through your backyard? That didn't used to be there, but it was just the only real estate left that we could get wire in the air. And everybody was, you know, accepting of that and told us, hey, do what you need to do. We want everybody to get their lights back on. Kind of everybody's mantra was, until we have power, nothing else matters.
Line workers, again, thank you so much for all the hard work, determination, and passion that you put into your day-to-day jobs. We at T&D World really appreciate your sacrifice to keep the lights on and the power flowing for your communities. And if you want to hear more of the interviews that I included in this episode, please go to linelife.podbean.com and you can see all the interview style episodes and audio stories in our In Case You Miss It series that celebrate the line trade. Also, if you know of someone in the line trade who would be a great guest for the Line Life podcast, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at afishbach@endeavorb2b.com or reach out to me on LinkedIn or on Lineman World on Instagram. You can also swing by the T&D World booth at the 2026 International Linemen's Expo, and I would love to talk to you for a future episode. Go to linelife.podbean.com or search for the Line Life podcast to hear more interviews and audio stories in the future. Thanks again for all you do, line workers, and enjoy the National Lineman's Appreciation Day tomorrow. If you have any stories or photos from tomorrow's celebration, be sure to share them with me, and I'll include them as a photo gallery in a future issue of our Lineman Life e-newsletter. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Line Life podcast produced by Endeavor Business Media, a division of Endeavor B2B. Be sure to subscribe or follow the Line Life podcast in your favorite podcasting app so new episodes will be delivered straight to you. For more insights, you can visit our website at tdworld.com/podcasts or linelife.podbean.com. You can also connect with us by following us on Instagram at Lyman World or on Facebook, LinkedIn, or X. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Line Life Podcast.